So this morning, there's a word from the Lord, y'all. We're going to continue in our preaching series, looking at life through the lens of Christmas. And so again, good morning. Here we are, y'all, that Christmas, y'all, is home. As Reverend Bolden shared this morning, you go by the stores, you go by the malls and the parking lots to feel that people are out doing what they do. Christmas is on and strong, y'all. We are here. We are in the midst of this holiday season. We find that lights and decorations on the houses and everywhere, they're popping, they're looking good. The stores and malls, listen, they're hopping, they're filled with people. People are shopping. That the Christmas music on the radio or whatever you're listening to, the Christmas music is dropping, y'all. And soon after all of this good food we've been eating, some bellies will be flopping. But Christmas is here, y'all. It's on and it's strong, y'all. But guess what? Christmas will end. The day will come, y'all. We're going to eat real good. We're going to unwrap some presents. We're going to tell people thank you. We're going to do all of that. And then all of a sudden, we're going to be into the new year. And guess what? We're going to be back to life, back to reality. That life is going to continue to life. And if we would be honest with ourselves, even though it's the Christmas season right now, life be life in y'all. That we deal with the ups and the downs of life here in this moment, right now and today. Life is life, and we deal with the unpredictable. We deal with circumstances and situations that we simply cannot control. But so the deal is, in this struggle that we call life, in these ups and downs of life, we're always trying to figure out how to deal with the struggle. How to hold everything together, how to hold it down. And sometimes it gets real hard. But it's up to us and how we see life as to how we'll figure out, Minister Melissa, how we'll do this thing called life. I found out something. That when you look at life through the lens of this world or this world's view, there are some things that are good about it, but the reality, it can be fatalistic. It can be grim, and it can be dark when we try to live according to this world and this world system. But Sister Linda, when we look at life through the lens of Christmas, because it matters how you look at life, the lens through which you see life is often how you will live your life. When we look at life through the lens of Christmas, we focus on Christ. It's a focus on eternity. It's a way of looking at things that are radically different than this world. And if we can look at things through the lens of Christmas, we can see Christ and we can see eternity. We can cope with and deal with the chaos and the confusion and the craziness of this world. God called you and me to look at things in a different way. And I believe that Christmas, the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all that this means to us, because he's not a baby anymore, that he grew up, y'all. Yeah. Reverend Mike, he became our Savior. Yeah. And he reigns today. When we can look at life through the lens of Christmas, we can live a better way. We can see things better and greater. That's what this preaching series is all about. And so we talked about on the last time we bought a sermon on this series, we talked about the hope of Christmas. We came from Isaiah chapter 9, where Isaiah prophesies to the nation of Israel to let them know, listen, you are in trouble. God's going to get you because of your disobedience, because of your sin. Listen, your enemies will invade you. Sometimes we wonder why we're going through some stuff. What's your relationship with God in this very moment? God, listen, God, sometimes God has to spank you. God has to correct you. God has to chastise you to bring you back into his will. Anybody ever been there before? Don't look at me straight. Anybody been there before? So he says to you, I got to chastise you. But with this hard word that he gives to Israel, he gives them a word of hope too. He says, listen, I'm going to bring you deliverance. But that deliverance would not come by their hands. It would not come by any work or thing that they did. that their deliverance would not come by military power or military might, that their deliverance would come from a person. In Isaiah, he identifies that person in Isaiah chapter 9, that for unto us a child will be born, and a son will be given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. That deliverance would come by way of a person by the name of Jesus. I need you to hear me this morning. Whatever deliverance you need from whatever addiction you might have, whatever sin that you're dealing with right now, whatever demon that may be on you right now, the way you get your deliverance is through Jesus Christ. He is your way to deliverance. We serve a God that's able to deliver. And so hope came into the world by way of a person. And I beg you that you look through life through the lens of Christmas. Look at Christ, because he is the hope of this world. And so today, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1 as we look at verses 18 through 21. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Amen. Again, it's so good to see all of your wonderful faces in the house today. Hopefully, you've got some of your shopping out of the way. Some of y'all doing it, you're doing it, you let your fingers do the walk it out. You're using Amazon and all of that. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, it reads as thus. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man. Yeah, he was. And did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Girl, it's not you, it's me. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. As we look at life through the lens of Christmas, I want to remind us of something. That Christmas is about a miracle for misfits. A miracle for misfits. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So most of us, if not all of us, have our favorite Christmas movies. Some of y'all like some of the oldies but goodies. I don't know if I like that term because I'm old now. But some of y'all remember The Miracle on 34th Street. Some of y'all remember The Preacher's Wife, which is a take from an older movie called The Bishop's Wife. That some of y'all like the oldies but goodies. Some of y'all like some of the cartoonish kind of movies, Charlie Brown Christmas. The Grinch that stole, y'all looking at me strange like y'all don't have y'all Christmas movies. Because I know some of y'all, listen, your favorites are these Hallmark Christmas movies that come on year after year with the same old thing, this sappy, happy kind of love thing that two people meet each other and they fall in love and then they get mad with each other and then somehow they come back together and it's gone. It's over with. Look, different faces, different spaces. It's the same old thing, but they got some of us hooked, y'all. We watch it day in and day out. I got any Hallmark witnesses in the house today. For me, I like some of the old school, they call them claymation movies. Come on, somebody over here. And so claymation is where they take these clay figures and to make the movie, they have to move the clay one step at a time and take a picture one step at a time. So finally, it looks like the little thing is moving. And so that's claymation for anybody that didn't know. So Santa Claus is coming to town. That's one of the claymation movies. That Frosty the Snowman has a claymation movie. And how can we get the famous reindeer of them all, Rudolph? The hero of A Christmas Story, that he has a claymation movie. But did y'all not know this? I'm going to school y'all today on Rudolph. That he has a spinoff called Rudolph and the Island of Misfit Toys. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Thank you. Amen. Amen to you. And so Rudolph in this story, that he becomes the hero of the story because he's trying to get these misfit toys off of this desolate island that's ruled by this king, this lion with some wings on his back. I don't know what he is. But these toys, focus on them for a minute. They're misfit toys. That they have defects. Some have been disowned by their owners. That they have these manufacturing maladies, that they're just abnormal. There's Charlie, the bald-headed clown. He's called Charlie in the Box, not Jack in the Box. There's this little boat that's singing. He's got a little smile on his face, but the boat can't float. There's a cowboy who rides on an ostrich. There's a spotted elephant. There's a train with square wheels. Oddities, freakish toys, y'all. There's a bird that couldn't fly, but he swims in water. He has a fish tail. There's this animal. I don't even know what it is. It's got feathers all. I think it's a bear. It's a bear with blue feathers. All of these toys, y'all. They can't find their way into the arms of a loving child. Because of their manufacturing maladies, because of their defects, because they're disowned by some, that they are the misfit toys. They're destined to live their little toy lives in misery known as misfits. But can I ask you a question? Have you ever felt like a misfit? The reality is, psychologists will tell you that all of us have insecurities at some point in our lives. That we can dress up and look real good. That we can wear smiles on our face. But all of us deal with insecurities in our lives. Am I good enough? Do I measure up? Will people really like me? Sometimes we feel like misfits. Sometimes we feel like we don't fit in. Sometimes we feel like we're misunderstood. We're mistreated. Misquoted. Misdirected. Misled. And sometimes just plain old missed over. But there's good news for all of us, and I don't want you to miss this. Listen, Jesus came for misfits. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news of the Christmas story. When we look at the world through the worldly lens, y'all, we sometimes we feel like we don't measure up. Sometimes we feel like we cannot get beyond our own mistakes and our failures and our flaws. Sometimes we feel like we don't fit in. We don't have the right pedigree. We don't have the right credentials. We don't have the right body type or the eye color. We don't have the good hair. We don't measure up. We don't have the right look. But when we look at life through the lens of Christmas and why Jesus really came, listen, he came to give us grace. He came to give us forgiveness. He came to love us and to show how much he loves us. That he is the miracle for misfits, for people that don't fit in. I believe that Christmas, Jesus, this baby born in the manger, is just what God ordered for people that may feel like a misfit. That Jesus is the hero of our story. And so, looking at the text, there's some things I want us to know and to see. And that's this. The Christmas story, y'all, is filled with misfits. I wonder if you modernize the Christmas story, and many people do, and in my imagination, I suppose I can too, if you kind of make it up there. What would it look like today? I think the wise men would probably look like, I don't know, Dr. Phil or
or Oprah or somebody like that. I think Joseph would have been on the hot seat with Jerry Springer trying to determine who the baby was, trying to paternity test. You are the father. I think about the shepherds and how fearful they were of seeing those angels. They probably would have picked up the phone and called Ghostbusters, the ghost hunter, that there's some paranormal activity going on out here. I think about this pregnant Mary and how some of her friends probably would have been talking about her and putting her down. And how Mary probably would have had to unfriend some of them because they were calling a lot of baby mama drama. They were spilling the tea. They were throwing shade. And so she had to get rid of some of them out of her life. Have you ever really looked at the Christmas story and thought about it for a minute? Because we can clean it up and make it really look really nice, y'all. But the Christmas story, y'all, listen, it's really a messy story. That Jesus shows up at a messy time in history, but it's a story filled with misfits. Let's look at the real story here. That in the story, we find this woman by the name of Mary. We're talking about God coming down in the flesh. We're talking about a heavenly king. We're talking about the King of Kings. We're talking about Almighty God coming down to save people. So how would this royalty come? How would this heavenly king come to us? Mary? Seems unfit, like a misfit. It doesn't fit into the puzzle of the story. Here's this lowly Jewish girl that God chooses to be the earthly mother of Jesus. Ladies, I know y'all queens in y'all own right, but she was no queen. That she had no real status. That she just fit in with the ordinary crowd. She was a nobody. Her husband, Joseph. If you read the Gospels and you think about Joseph, listen, Joseph is speechless in these Gospels. He doesn't really say anything. That here's a man with rough hands. He's a carpenter. He's not a man of status. That he's not a king. That he's not a blue blood. He's not of royalty. Just a common man. An ordinary Joe. But he was chosen by God. Think about these shepherds. That the historians that say that they were outcast in that society. I don't know about that. I do know though they stood on the fringes of a community and of the city because they took care of sheep. And so they really weren't high on the social order. I would imagine a lot of people would forget about them. The shepherds are out there somewhere taking care of the sheep and they smell like the outdoors and they smell like sheep. But these are the first ones that God chose in his infinite wisdom, y'all, to be proclaimers of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think about those that are misfit, that they don't fit into in our minds, in the world's mind of what royalty would be birthed and born into. That here comes these wise men from the east. God chooses them. They were perhaps from Persia or Arabia, which means they were Gentiles, y'all. They would have been the high priest of the day, the religious leaders of the day, the Jewish people that would be led to a star. It would be these Gentiles that would be led by a star to the place where the Christ child laid, and they would bow down and they would worship him. It seems strange to me. It seems like they're unqualified. They don't fit in. But guess what? I found out something. It's the unqualified folk. It's the lowly folk. It's the humble folk are the ones that God chooses. That God has a miraculous selection process unlike this world does. That 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 27 through 29 said God chose the foolish things of this world to confound those things which are wise. God chose the powerless to bring to shame the powerful. God chose those things that were despised of this world. The world saw things as nothing, but God raised them up into somebody for his glory. and I'm looking across this room, and I'm finding God chose some folk. If you're chosen by God and you know it, praise God for it. As an old songwriter used to say, I'm just a nobody trying to tell somebody about a God that we serve. Tell everybody about this God that we serve. Think about the fact that God chose somebody like me. A man from Memphis, Tennessee, with country slang. Can't pronounce them big Greek words. We've been taking a Greek class, y'all. It was torture. You sound a Greek word to me, it come out baloney. I don't know. I can't say that. But God chose somebody like me. When we look at Christmas, when we look at our lives through the lens of Christmas, you know, the world says we don't measure up, but God says we do. The world says that we made too many mistakes, but God loves us regardless and wants to use us. The world says you don't fit into my camp, you don't fit into my group, but God says, come to me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You fit in with me. The world says you're not the right pedigree. You don't have the right credentials. God says, as long as you have a heart for me, I can use you. Yeah. That's the kind of God that we serve. And so the Christmas story is filled with misfits. Again, we attempt to sanitize the Christmas story. Jesus came into a world, y'all, that was a social, political, and spiritual mess. And if we would tell the truth, y'all, listen, that's the world we live in today. That it's a mess. And here we are. We try to clean up our messes, don't we? Listen, when someone visits you at the house, what do you do? That you try to clean up? You know, you make sure you fluff up the pillows on the couch. You know, you get the Cheerios out of, you vacuum out of the couch that the kids can put in there. You clean up stuff, you make it look real nice, you make things smell real good, because you don't want people to think that you are a messy person. When certain people, you meet certain people, listen, you clean up your language. Well, some of y'all do, some of y'all don't care. Lord help y'all today. Can you clean it up around a preacher? Can you do a little bit? The preacher say, hey, wait a minute. Anyway, Lord, help us with our mouths, right? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. But we try to clean ourselves up. We try to clean up our lives because it's messy. It's messy. But I found out something, that in truth, there's only one person that can clean us up and make us whole and make us right. There's only one that can clean up our mess, and he did it at Calvary's cross, and his name is Jesus. I thank God for Jesus because he cleaned up and cleaning up my mess. The Christmas story is filled with misfits. And know this too, the Christmas story is about us. It's about you and me. Text said it right there. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son. And you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You will call him Jesus, Yahweh saves, for he'll save his people, which is plural. In the text, Matthew, who is a Jew, and his Jewish hearers might think that he's talking about his people, the Jewish people. In a sense, that is true. But his people has a broader context. It has plurality. That whosoever calls upon the name of Jesus shall be saved, and you are a part of his people. Is there anybody in the house that's glad to say, I'm one of his people? You, my people, we are his people together. But so there's plurality in people. That's something to be excited about. That's what Christmas was about. And he will save his people from their sins. Plural. Not just some sins, but from all of our sins. And my Bible tells me that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If we were to testify today and stand on our feet
and boldly declare what our sins were, boy, it would be something today. Thank God we don't have to do that. But Christmas is about God who sends his son into the world to say his people, all people who call on the name of Jesus, black people and white people and Hispanic people and Asian people, people all around this world from their sins, whatever their sins might be. It's about us, all of us. The danger, y'all, and the dismay is that we make Christmas about everything else other than Christ. In this commercialized world in which we live today, we can make Christmas about everything other than Jesus. Y'all, years ago, y'all, when I was working for corporate America, FedEx, I just got hired on. I think I got there about August, September time frame. We got into the holiday season, y'all. And the section that I worked in as a project manager, they were going to have a get-together. And so we're in a room and we're talking about this get together. We're going hard and oh, churchy me, I'm just churchy, you know. I see folk in corporate and walking. I praise the Lord. God bless you. Yeah. Church, kind of churchy. I'm just kind of churchy. You know, folk having issues on the job and stuff. Come on, let's pray about it. They came to know me as a preacher. They had problems on the job. Let's go to love. He gonna pray for about churchy. But y'all, in this first event, y'all, we gonna have this get-together, and I blurted out, oh, we're going to have a Christmas party. Y'all, it got silent in the room. Folk turned their head. Somebody said, around here, we call it a winter party. We don't call it Christmas. I thought to myself, what? It's a cold day, and you know where when you take Christ out of Christmas. And a whole lot of folks trying to Xmas Jesus out. Listen, Christmas is about, it's about us, but it's about Jesus. It's about a Savior that came into the world to save us. So it's a cold day when you take Christ out of Christmas, a winter party. Now, it's Christmas and it's on, y'all. That Christmas story is about us. And some of us would never want to be considered to be a misfit. But if you would admit it, if you're flawed, if you've ever failed, if you realize that you don't measure up to God's standard in and of yourself, yeah, beloved, we're all misfits. The Christmas story is about us. It's about a God who loved us and sent his son. This Christmas, y'all, a lot of us are going to receive some gifts. You're going to give some gifts, and some of those gifts may be from Walmart or Target, Jacques Pinet. Be grateful for the gifts that you receive, whatever they might be. But don't look around. Look at me. There's some of y'all going to receive some high-dollar gifts from some high-dollar stores that God blessed you, and maybe you got it like that. You're going to get some Louis Vuitton. Some Gucci, some Prada, some Dior, some Chanel, some Yves Saint Laurent, some Christian Louis Vuitton, some Dolce & Gabbana. You're going to get some Bulgari. Or maybe you may look outside your house and you might see Range Rover, BMW, Audi, Mercedes, Jaguar, Maserati. No matter what the gift, be grateful for the gift that God gives you. But I bring this up for a particular point, that you have to pay the price to have the name. The quality of the gift is based upon whose name is on it. When we look it through the eyes of Christmas, the lens of Christmas, listen, that Christ came to a bunch of misfits to put his name on us. I don't know what your name was before. It may have been adulterer. Your name may have been cheater. Your name may have been liar. Your name may have been materialistic. Your name may have been something down and dismal. But Jesus came into the world for you and to me to put his name on us. And we are called Christians. I thank God that he put his name on me. I'm high quality. You're high quality. And you are valued. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why I love to sing that old gospel song. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. In my heart. In my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart.
And then they say something like, Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. Anybody there today? In my heart, Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. In my heart, in my heart, in my heart, Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. Lord, I thank you for making Christmas about us, that God, you sent your son into the world to die for our sins, and we make it personal and for my sins. That the Christmas story, y'all, it's filled with misfits. The Christmas story is about us. That God loved us so much that he sent his son into the world to die for us. Misfits, those who are messed up. And finally, I want us to know this. The Christmas story really becomes our rescue story. We go back to the story of Rudolph, the Isle of the Misfits. I encourage you to go turn on your TV and go to the internet, find the movie. It's a good movie that Rudolph finally, who's the hero of the story, but also a misfit in his own right, that he gets these toys, these misfit toys, off of this island. That it's a wonderful story, but the truth is it's a fictitious story. It's not a true story. But this reminds me, y'all, of a true story. It's a rescue story. It reminds me of the story of a baby that was born in Bethlehem, a lowly place called Bethlehem, that he was born in a manger, that he was placed in an animal's trough, the place where animals would chew their cud. He was born in this trough. He was born in a manger. He was born to lowly parents, to Joseph and Mary. He was born to nobodies. He was born to people that were not fit. See, they didn't fit into the puzzle that he was born into this world. And Jesus himself is a misfit in his own right. Because the people didn't see him as God, that they thought he had a God complex. They thought he was confused, that he was wrong, that they thought he thought too much of himself. But he was and is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, that came into the world to save us from our sins. That his story is a misfit story. That God had a way that was above our ways, that he would save us, misfits, mess ups, people that are flawed, people that didn't deserve it, because of his divine love and grace and mercy for us, that he would send his son into the world, that it is our rescue story. When you look at Christmas, see Christmas as your rescue story. Last time I found out, listen, when someone rescues you, you want to talk about it. Am I right? If you are in a fire and a firefighter rescues you, listen, you're going to tell somebody what the firefighter did, that they rescued me. If you ever needed a major surgery and God blessed you with a good surgeon that was able to perform a successful surgery and you could walk right again or whatever you needed to do, you gave praise to the surgeon. They helped you. They rescued you in that sense. But y'all, we have a rescuer. The rescuer that knows the firefighter and the surgeon. The one that rescued us from our sins. The one that rescued us from our stuff. The one that rescued us from our mess. And his name is Jesus. And we ought to be able to talk about our rescuer in the house today. Can we give praise to the rescuer of our souls today? That he didn't deliver you just from an island. He delivered you out of sin. He delivered you out of Hades. Can we give praise to the rescuer today? Give praise to the rescuer today. And that ain't all. We ought to tell somebody about the rescuer. Give them the gift that keeps on giving. And his name is Jesus. That he is our salvation. He is our peace. He is our hope. He is our joy. He is our liberator. He is our freedom. He is our rescuer. That God came And he came and he saved this misfit with all of his flaws and issues. And that's the good news. And the church said, hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen. There is a miracle for misfits. There's a miracle for misfits in the name of Jesus. There's a miracle for misfits. Pray with me now. Father, thank you for this word. God, thank you that when we were yet still in sin, that Jesus, you were born into this world. And while we were yet still in sin, you came to die for us. A loving God who came to serve an unlovely people. A righteous God who came to save unrighteous people. A perfect God who came to save flawed people. God, may we not lose our passion for our salvation. May we not lose our passion and our joy and our worship and our praise for what you have done for us, oh God. That each and every day we will remember and we'll celebrate and we'll worship and we'll honor you for all that you've done for us. Father, perhaps in this moment, as we pray, we're reminded of your word. That, Father, you sent your Son into the world. That whosoever believes on the name of Jesus will be saved. We admit that we've all sinned and fallen short of your glory. That we've made missteps and mistakes, that we sinned. But God, you had a resolve for that from the foundation of the world. And your word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. We admit that we've sinned. We confess those sins. We repent, we turn from them, and we turn to you in this moment, oh God. And we confess Jesus, and we believe on his name, that he is the way and the only way to salvation. Holy Spirit, speak to a heart right now. May they sense the power of your presence in this moment, the power of your spirit that's tugging at their heart to let them know that it's been too long, that they need you right now. That we aren't able to dot every I and cross every T or to live perfect lives, but you are a perfect God. And you had a perfect plan of salvation for them and for us. And I pray in this moment that they would turn to you. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Do what only you can do. Draw them by your power. Draw them into your perfect plan and your purpose for their lives. Draw them only as you can. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. That's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, perhaps there's someone in the house today. You're sitting in here and I pray that prayer and you know that you aren't in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ and you want to be in one. Well, we invite you to do that today. Our ushers are standing in the back of the room. Their hands are extended. And maybe you're saying, listen, I don't know the ins and outs of this thing called salvation and living for Jesus, but I want to know. I feel like God, something's tugging at my heart right now. Why don't you get up from where you are in this moment? Their hands are extended. Follow them to room number one. They'll gather information from you and we'll welcome you into the house of God as the people of God with open arms. Are you here today? Won't you stand wherever you are? Won't you get up? You follow them out in the hallelujah. We don't rush this moment. Perhaps there's someone that's tuned into our online ministry and you're saying, listen, I want to be a part of what's going on at this church. Perhaps you are a born-again believer already, but you're not connected to a church. Perhaps you're believing for the first time and you're online. Listen, there is a form that you can fill out in this moment. There is a link for you to fill out some information.
We'll get that information, and one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you this week. So we invite you, our online audience as well. You can receive him today.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.